Now, Hebrews is the chapter we call the faith chapter. And it has a whole list of people in the Bible that God said had faith. Now, if you want to know what it is to have faith, then you study the lives of those various people and so forth. But in this chapter, it talks about the fact that it says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning the Lord. So if we do not operate in faith, we're not pleasing God. It's just that simple. And I want to keep these messages as clear as possible so that we can learn from them, and not only learn from them, but do them. The Bible says the word of God will set you free if you do the word. So it's not only knowing the word, it's doing the word. So it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Now we talked about this. There shouldn't be a guess about whether there's a God or not. I don't care what the New York Times says. They say a lot of things. Or any other newspaper. It's what does the Bible say? And it says that you must believe that God is. There shouldn't be a question about that part. And then, secondly, he is a rewarder. God will reward your works. There will be a payday someday, as they say. There will be a payday. Somebody says, well, you know, what about this person doesn't seem to care anything about God and they're doing their thing. And here I've been going to church all these years and reading my Bible and doing all this stuff. Well, there's a payday someday. God is going to reward those that have faith that he is. And then the third thing I'm going to mention today, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not a matter of seeking him for salvation and then just coasting through life. It's a matter of finding God for salvation and then diligently seeking him the rest of your life. One thing some people forget is when Jesus called his disciples, he said to them one very simple thing, follow me. That's what he said, follow me. That's what he asked. He's saying the same thing today, follow him. It says in the so-called Great Commission that we are to go in all the world and make disciples. In order to make disciples, you have to be one. And a disciple is someone that follows someone that knows more than they do, has more experience than they have, and is wiser than they are. So we're following God, and then we are to go out as he called us, and he calls other people. We are to make disciples of other people. It's more than just bringing them to Christ. Coming to Christ is the beginning of it, not the end. Even some churches seem to think that when you come to salvation, that's the end. You just kind of do the things the church does until you go to be with Christ. And it's not that way. The Bible says we are to be disciples. That means we are to be followers of him. That means that we are to follow him wherever he wants us to go, because salvation is unique to the person. In other words, God might want you to do something that somebody else is not going to be doing. Now, if you look at this list of people that are in this chapter, yeah, the first one's Noah, the second one's Abraham, then you have Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so on. Several others. You have Rahab, which is really interesting. And I think God put Rahab in there for any Christian who thinks they're hot stuff. I really do. if you think you're so wonderful, God has Rahab, who was a harlot, in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Or I should say the Hall of Faith. And there's several more listed. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and so on. And so if you study their life, you'll find out very interesting things. They had time when they were very discouraged. They had times when they were victorious. They had times when they fell and they sinned. And they had times that they were following God and everything looking good. And so I think it would be encouraging to read the life of these people. Now, it's interesting, though, that they all came to the place where they said, I will give my life for the Lord. It's really unfortunate today in history, when they study history in the schools, they don't study the original founding fathers of this country, because they would find out that these men pledged their fortunes, their families, and their lives that this country would be born. And many of them died, many of them lost their families, and many of them lost their lives in the process of becoming an independent nation from Britain. And God doesn't ask any less, actually, of us. And I think when you come to that point, there was a point in Jesus' ministry, and he had a big crowd, and he was teaching them, and he mentioned the fact that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to be put on a cross, he was going to be beaten, he was going to die. He also mentioned he was going to be raised again. But the issue was that when he mentioned that, a good portion of the believers turned around and left. And that's exactly what happens today when you start telling somebody that, yes, the truth will set you free, but you have to do the truth. You have to follow the truth. And then you say, yes, receive Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you're going to go to heaven for eternity and you're going to be with Christ. But it also says, become a disciple. And just like it says here, without faith it's impossible to please God, but it also says you must believe he is, he's a rewarder of them, and then he puts that little line on the end, that diligently seek him. It doesn't mean that, everybody's going to have to be the same, because we're not. It does depend on your faith. Whichever one of these had in the Hall of Faith at one time or another, they might have kind of faltered in their faith, but if you took their whole life together after they knew Christ, they were strong in the Lord as far as God was concerned. And the interesting thing about it is, this was written after they died, and it doesn't mention one sin in there. No sin in the list. But if you go back and study their lives in the Bible, you find out they made this mistake, they did that thing, that they were not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, which is not an excuse for sin, but it certainly is a reason to continue on in the Lord, because if you could also say this list is a list of the Hall of Fame in heaven, because every one of these people are in heaven, every single one of them. They had faith, they believed God, he rewarded them, and they're in heaven. If you want to, I think that would be a good way to put it. Okay, secondly, you should underline, put 3 or 4 stars by Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Then last time we talked about Romans chapter 10, and let's go there quickly, because Romans chapter 10 will also tell you something else that we need to do in our Christian life. Now, we went over this in detail last time, which I'm not going to do this time, but let's look at it quickly. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is near unto you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now in verse 8, there's a hint when the word comes out of your mouth, it's going to become active in your life. I want you to see that. When the word comes out of your mouth, not mine, yours. And once again, that's why we repeat scripture in the service. We're not doing it just to be doing something. We're doing it because when it comes out of your mouth, your ears hear it. And we are made as human beings. Now listen to me carefully. We're made as human beings that whatever we hear comes out of our mouth directs our life. I don't know how to put it any more clear than that. So it's extremely important what comes out of your mouth, and it's also extremely important that scripture comes out of your mouth, because that will, you hear that in your ears, it goes into your heart and mind, and it affects your life. That's why we say it's, we as Christians, if you're around people that just curse all the time, use the Lord's name in vain, it hurts you, because we do, should not use those words, because whatever we hear is going to affect our life. Now, there's another thing about that. If you're sick, it's very, very important to speak positive things of the scripture. Now, it's not a big deal, and I don't think you have to say, well, you know, I've got a cold. If you say, I have a cold, that's not a big thing. But the point is, God's healing my cold. I'm going to be better. My voice is going to be perfect, etc. Are you listening? Because your body hears what comes out of your mouth. So, that's one of the reasons that I said last time that we need to be reading the Word of God out loud every single day, because your body and your spirit being inside of you will hear the words of your mouth. That's why the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's what it says. That's what it says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the book of James, it gives you an example of that. You could have a huge aircraft carrier, and it's guided by some very simple rudders, very small compared to the rest of the boat, but it's guiding that aircraft carrier where it's supposed to go. So what the Bible says, and incidentally, I believe it. I believe it. It says your life will be guarded by the words that come out of your mouth. Now, if you don't listen to anything else I say today, get that part. Yes.
That's why when people ask him how he is, he always
does by his body. Yes, exactly. Because we are, as far as God's concerned, as far as if we're sick, and we say, you know, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. As far as God's concerned, we're healed in the name of Jesus. If we say that out of our mouth, our body hears it and will begin the healing process. You see, God put in our body everything that's necessary to heal us. Now, I'm not saying don't go to doctors. Don't get that idea. I go to a doctor once in a while. But the issue is that to start the healing process, we have to have faith that the Word of God is what it says it is. So in every situation in your life, you'll find some words in the Bible you should be speaking out loud to bring positive results in that life. Now, the issue is very simple. Now, the next verse in Romans is really interesting to me, because I've had people tell me something. I'll tell you in just a minute. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth, we're talking about salvation here. If thou wilt confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, what it really says, it says, if you receive what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and you believe that, faith, and you speak it out of your mouth, it's going to be true in your life. I heard somebody say, I said one time, I was teaching on this one Wednesday night, and we had a group of people here, and I was teaching here in the auditorium, and there was one guy says, I never say anything. I never say anything about God out loud. Well, my thought about that was that's a shame. Because the Bible says if you're saved, you will speak it out of your mouth. And if you never speak Jesus Christ out of your mouth in a good way, there's something wrong somewhere, and I'd go back and find out if I was saved or not. You understand? This is so important. It's basic, but it's extremely important. So every word that comes out of your mouth is important, and that's why you have to be very careful what you say, particularly in your own home, particularly to your wife or husband, because you can curse them with your mouth. Are you listening? It's absolutely amazing. You can find somebody that's abused in their home, and they hear all these words and all these things said to them besides what's done to them, and pretty soon they start saying the same words that the person who abused them said about themselves, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, et cetera, et cetera. And when you start speaking it, particularly, you are going to hear it, and guess what? You're going to believe it. And there's so many people like that. It's bad enough to be abused, but it's doubly bad when you speak those things out of your mouth because you are making them permanent in your life. So, excuse me, I'm talking about faith here. And so these scriptures are extremely important. Because verse 10 now of Romans 10 says the same thing. Whenever God says something more than once, you better pay attention. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, and it goes on, whosoever believeth in him has faith in Christ shall not be ashamed, and so on. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and so on there. But you can read that whole thing. But the issue is, it's not only for salvation do we say these things out of our mouth, it's for our life we say these things out of our mouth. And so that's why I try to tell people that receive Christ after a period of time and they've had some teaching, I tell them now you have to learn to speak what God has done to you out of your mouth. Give a testimony, we call it. And a testimony is very simply this, what you did before, what happened at salvation, and what's God's doing now. It's those three things, past, and then present and future. And that's a testimony. You tell somebody, I was like this before I saved. You don't go into all the gory details. But I was like this before I saved. This is what happened when I was saved, and now this is what God's doing in my life. And when you speak those things, once again, you're just reinforcing that into your life, and faith rises up because of what you say out of your mouth. Now, we would call that the spoken word of God, the spoken word of God. There's the written word of God, and then there's the spoken word of God when you speak it. Are you listening? You need both. It's not just learning it, it's also speaking it, you see. And so we need to speak it to somebody. You get saved, I say, go tell somebody. Go tell the one closest to you. Go tell somebody you saw. Don't wait till tomorrow, tell them tonight. Call them on the phone if you have to. Tell them what happened. To you this morning or tonight or whenever it was. And so we're talking about faith. And so Romans 10 is a very important chapter in that area. And then also, of course, Hebrews chapter 11. You would do well to read those out loud. But my suggestion is, if you're going to start reading out loud, start in the book of John, that we read some of the first chapter this morning. And we're going to try to do every service, read some portion of Scripture. When I was a kid in church, I don't remember what was preached, but I remember they had something called the responsive reading. Has everybody ever see those? In fact, there might be one in the hymnals we have. I don't know. We don't use that. But anyway, it's a deal where the pastor would read a line and the congregation would read their part. Then the pastor would read and they would read. I had no clue what was going on. I don't even know if they had a clue what was going on. But the issue was they were speaking the word of God. Whether they were saved, lost, or whatever. Is it in there? Okay. So it always usually is in the hymnals. And there's nothing wrong with using that. I like to personally just get into the word, but they have that, and that's okay. Now, I want to go on now on how to use your faith once you have it. We talked about how do you receive faith, and the Bible, we talked about that last time, and the Bible says very simply it's a gift of God. You don't manufacture faith in your own life. It's a gift of God. We receive the faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made a very big point in saying, when I speak, the words that come out of my mouth are not mine, they are whose? The Father in heaven. Jesus practiced this principle that I'm teaching. He spoke the words of the Father. We are to speak the words of Christ. And so on, and it just keeps right on going. So it's important to read the word out loud. You receive it by faith. We talked about that last time, and I'm going to get into that. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about how to use your faith. And it's interesting to me that some people teach if you're walking in faith, you'll never have a problem in life. And I find the Bible says just the opposite. What it says really is develop your faith through the trials of life. Develop your faith through the trials of life. Some of the greatest believers in the world today are believers that are being persecuted because they developed their faith in the trials of life. We in America have it a little easier, and so it's a little tougher for us. But you use your faith in times of trial, and of course, any time in life, we are to walk in faith on an everyday basis. Now, look in 2 Timothy 2:13. 2 Timothy 2:13. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. All right. Now, I'm sorry if we woke you up there. Okay. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:13. It's like everybody found it before I did. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:13, and here's what it says. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, what that says is something very interesting. God cannot deny his word. He never will deny his word. You're not going to get to heaven and find he changed the rules. He cannot deny his word. When God speaks it, it is eternal. In fact, there's an indication, they think, that every word we speak or ever spoken is never gone. It never dies. The words that you speak are life. And so if you speak bad words, you got bad words floating around in the area. And if you speak good words, you got good words floating around. So I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about their language before they were saved or whatever, but I'm just telling you, words don't die. Words are alive. Words are the seed of God. That's one of the ways that Mary conceived when she, at the conception of Christ, was the word of God was spoken. She received the word. The word was the life of God, or you can say the seed of God, or if you really want to get technical, the sperm of God. And that word went into her person, and she conceived. That's how it happened. So you see, that's what the words you speak do. They conceive in your own life. You always say, boy, I'm going to give somebody the business. Well, really what you're doing is giving yourself the business, because your words conceive in your life. Okay? Now, that's how you got saved. Same principle. Somebody told you the word of God. In most cases, God can do it any way he wants to. But in most cases, somebody, you heard the word of God preached, you read something about salvation, you heard something on TV, or one of your friends told you about Jesus, and they spoke the words, their words, you received those words, they went into your spirit and soul, and you were saved. Amen? Okay. Now, so we're seeing some very interesting things here as God's speaking to us. 2 Timothy 2:13. Now, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. In other words, if we falter somewhere in our faith, God's faith's going right on. God's faith says you're saved. If you've received Jesus Christ, you're saved. Now, faith is not only for salvation, it's for living. And we'll talk about that. But as you go through the trials of life, you hang on to the fact that God said he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You go on to the fact, if you believe God is, and you do, then you're saved. You go along with the very fact that the Bible says that when you became a Christian, God sealed you to the end. Now, the interesting thing about that is, I was reading out loud in the scriptures a couple of days ago, and I had forgotten this. I read the part where the Bible says, listen to this, Jesus Christ as a human being was sealed by the Father when he was on this earth. And what that said was, very simply, nobody could kill Jesus Christ unless he allowed it. And in fact, he didn't really allow it. He let them beat him up, put on the cross, shed his blood, etc., but he gave up his own life. Why? It was impossibility to kill Jesus Christ because he was sealed by God. Now let me tell you something else. It says in Ephesians that if you're a Christian, you're sealed by God. And I thought, now wouldn't it be interesting if that same word sealed for us is the same word they used sealed for Jesus? So I looked that up. It's the very same word. It's the very same word. So what that means is nobody can take your life without God's permission. If he permits it, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to be with him. But it says very simply, you don't have to worry every day whether you're going to die or not. Because you're sealed by God. You're going to die at the right time. And the only thing that's going to die is your body. Do I hear an amen? Amen. You see, the lost world has no clue of what I'm talking about. Only a Christian can understand what I'm talking about. They wouldn't have a clue. It isn't because we're so much better than they are. It's because we have somebody that's better than they are. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. That's right. That's the difference. But it also gives us the opportunity to live for him now, you see. And that's what we're talking about, faith. Living by faith. You see, it doesn't make any difference if it snows 3 feet tomorrow, you can't get out of your house. He's still a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen? You see, that's it. Your car may not start, but he's still a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You see. The Word of God does not change, the Bible says, and will not change. And so we have that truth, we have that in our spirit. Now, what that verse says, and it's really interesting, God's faithful even when we aren't. Okay? God's faithful even when we aren't. Now, you know, we have these people running around, oh man, you messed up, you're lost, you gotta get saved again. They haven't got a clue as to what the Bible says, or they're not saved in the first place. I don't know what the issue is. If you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and also I would suggest you read Romans 8, because that says nothing, hallelujah, in heaven or hell can take your salvation away from you. That's exactly what it says. So we can walk in faith today. We can walk in faith this afternoon. We can walk in faith tonight, tomorrow morning. It's 10 years from now if Jesus hasn't come, but I think he will before that. But anyway, so that's that. You see, we can take these verses, speak these verses, you see, and we'll start believing these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Let's repeat this. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Hallelujah. I spoke the word of God. It's into my life, and I believe it, and I'm excited about what God's going to do. It don't make any difference if you're 10 years or 1,000 years old. If the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Do I hear an amen? Amen? All right. Now we're going to talk about faith grows. Faith grows. It starts out small. The Bible says very simply, God gives every man a measure of faith. So it starts there. It starts like a seed that's watered by the word of God. And when you start acting on it, then that whole thing begins to grow, and you got faith growing in you. Hallelujah. And it's exciting. Luke chapter 17, and I think it's verse 5. Okay, Luke 17. Okay, verse 6 it is. Luke 17, 6. Some people look at this and they just haven't got a clue here, and I'm not saying I know it all either, because I don't. But this says, and the Lord said, so this is right out of the mouth of Jesus, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is extremely small, you might say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. In other words, if you have just a little tiny bit of faith, you can do miraculous things in Jesus' name. What if you haven't got a whole lot of faith? You see? What if it's growing? Most of the problem with Christians is very simply this. They don't grow their faith. They don't speak the word. They don't do the word. They're not doing it. They're just talking about it, and nothing's happening. Okay, so it doesn't make any difference how bad a shape you get in. If you hear the word of God, you can obey it, and you'll be in good shape. Now, I'm going to try to finish this real quick. I don't know if I can. Well, as you trust, speak, and obey the word of God, those three, trust, speak, and obey. Now, how does faith come? It comes by hearing the word of God, particularly out of your own mouth. There's another one. Hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you speak the word, you hear it. When other people speak it, that's important too. And it's important to hear the preaching and teaching and so on. But it really grows when you speak the word of God yourself. Now, I better quit right there. I thought I was going to get this finished, but I'm not. Next time I'm going to talk about what's the opposite of faith,